Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. By the patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Hymn 480. Testament reading for the festival of St. Mark is written in Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns, the voice of your watchmen. They lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the words of our gradualists printed on your service insert. We speak them together. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. The epistle is written in 2 Timothy chapter 4. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left with Carpus at Troas. Also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our common responsory, page 263. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
The Catechism, page 264. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse
the name of the Lord your God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. You may be seated. The mission of the church is here laid before us in very clear terms. After hearing these verses from St. Mark's Gospel, no one ought to be under any false impressions about what the church is to be doing. It is baptizing and teaching. Said another way, the church is to be covering the entire world in the white robe of Christ's righteousness through the baptismal font, and is also to be proclaiming the glorious truth of the gospel, that Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed and the sins of the world have been paid for, that there was a debt that was owed and it has been paid in full, that the wrath of God burned against sin, but it has been quenched in the blood of Christ, that enemies stood at the gates, but they have been put to flight. That is what the church, as such, has been given to do. That's it. Nothing more, but certainly nothing less. And in so doing, she receives a wonderful and mysterious promise. Evangelist St. Mark says that the disciples went out and preached while the Lord worked with them. The Greek is very clear, quite literally, as they were doing these things. As they were preaching, as they were baptizing, the Lord was working with them and in those things to accomplish that which He desires for the world. The two happen simultaneously. Neither one happens without the other. And thus we call the Word and the Sacrament, confirmands the means of grace. For through them grace is given to mankind. With that in mind, there's also a warning here. If the church is not doing these things, or is doing them in such a way as to distract from the main work that they have been given to do, then they have no promise that Christ is working in and with them to call people out of darkness and into the forgiveness of sins. And further, if you find yourself in a church that is doing these things faithfully, you ought to remain there. And you ought to foster within your families, parents to your children, children to your parents, a love, a desire, and a devotion to be in that place to receive the gifts of the Lord that He desires to give. Now, why belabor the point? Well, we live in a society that prides itself on its entertainment and its ability to conform to the cultural delights of the world. Lay the mission of the church next to the entertainment of the world. Lay preaching and baptizing next to what the world offers, and the mission of the church seems quite boring. Or that's how the criticism goes. And that criticism does not necessarily come from the world. They couldn't care less what's happening inside of this sanctuary. The criticism and the scorn for the boredom of the church actually comes from within herself, the people sitting in the pews. Perhaps some pastors too, I should say. Now, perhaps you've heard the banter, or you've said something yourself, that if church was more fun, perhaps my child would still be a Christian. If the church offered something more entertaining, perhaps we would attract more young people. If the church thrust from herself any identifying marks that she belongs to the one holy Christian and apostolic church, well, perhaps people would come. And if the church stopped preaching the law and accusing people of sin, well, perhaps the people that come would stick around. All of these concerns and suggestions are only interested in preserving the church as a kind of social club. Innovations to the church's historic liturgy, implementing 10 new programs for a more comfortable environment, offering cookies and coffee during the divine service of our Lord in His house to facilitate a kind of Starbucks service, and any other things that can be dreamed up, do not have the promise or the certainty that the Lord is working in and with those things to accomplish salvation for the world. Now, with all the gimmicks and the lights, I can't help but compare some of these innovations to a kind of bug-zapping lamp. The gimmicks might draw people in, but they have not been given the promise of the forgiveness of sins. The gimmicks don't give life, and at worst, they can be detrimental to faith. So remember this. Just because a church sign says Christian on the front of it, just because a church sign says Lutheran on the front of it, just because a church sign says Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on the front of it, do not assume for a second that what is going on in there has the promise of Christ our Lord's presence attached to it. The only certainty that you have that Christ is working together in and through the church is when she preaches the Word of God in its truth and purity, and when she administers the sacraments according to the Lord's command. Now, when you look at the various ways that the divine service is dressed up, even in Missouri Synod churches, you will soon find out the conviction of certain people with regard to the promise of our Lord, that He is, in fact, working together in the means which He gives. He is working together with the church as she preaches, teaches, baptizes, and feeds. So our order of service, the music, the canticles, the psalm tones, the choir pieces, and anything else that accompanies it is in service to these two things, to the Word and to the sacraments. Anything that distracts from them must be rejected as a man-made innovation that at best de-emphasizes the importance of the Word and the sacraments, and at worst is detrimental to their distribution. At worst, then, faith is also in jeopardy, because faith is nourished by the things which the Lord gives. It is nourished by this command given to the disciples and also given to the church to preach the gospel to the whole creation, to baptize, to teach, preach, and feed. And think of this too. If the measure of the church's worth is based on how fun she is, well, then we have a serious problem. Because the world will always be more fun than the church. And that's okay. Because quite frankly, the word fun ought not even be in the church's description. What people think it ought to be or what it is. Nor should the words comfortable, relaxed, or laid back be used. Because it is not comfortable to hear from God's law that you are a sinner condemned to hell if not for the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the church herself is not relaxed or laid back in the world. On this side of glory, we are the church militant who marches forth opposing the voices of evil as the beacon of light to the world. And that light does not emit from some kind of laser show on a stage. It emits from this word that while the world was yet an enemy of God, while you were yet an enemy of God, Christ our Lord took on your flesh and blood and was torn asunder by the hands of sinful men, and that He was raised again on the third day to proclaim the forgiveness of sins that He has accomplished in His perfect sacrifice on your behalf. In this way, all the darkness that would have overcome you and swallowed you up has been eliminated, has been utterly and totally decimated and destroyed. Death, hell, and the devil exist now only as empty forms, forms that we desire and wait to be destroyed finally at the consummation of the age. So the other question, along with regarding what the church is and what she's to be doing, we might wonder, well, can Christians have fun at all? Well, the world doesn't think so. Some Christians don't think so, and based on the tone of my sermon, you probably think, I don't think so. Well, I have good news. Christians can and they ought to have fun in accord with the Lord's Word. And so, Christian members can host events at their homes, have barbecues and so forth, but those things ought not to be confused with what takes place in the sanctuary. And Christians likewise can seek out entertainment outside of the Christian community entirely. Context is the key. Allow fun and entertainment to be fun and entertainment, and allow the church to be the church. Do not disparage her, therefore, as she is and as she has been commanded to be. Crucify your own will to the will of the Lord, forcing the church to reflect our culture. In her music and so forth is a terrible thing. She is the holy bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, and she ought not be adorned in the garb of the prostituted world. It makes no sense. Otherwise, how does the world distinguish itself from the church? And more pertinent, how does the church distinguish herself from the world? The church is the holy and precious bride of Christ. She is without blemish or spot, washed clean by her Lord, and you being members of that body have likewise been washed clean. You have been freed from conformity to this world and have been received into the loving arms of the Lord's church. In this place, Christ works alongside of the means of grace. He works in and through preaching, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, and He works for you. He comes to serve you. He came and He comes not to be served, but to serve and to give His life-giving body and blood as a ransom price for your sin. Rejoice, therefore, for He works and has worked for your salvation and gives all things that are necessary for eternal life to you through His holy bride, the church. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. 28.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray for the pray to the Lord. For Good Shepherd's new vicar, Evan Scammon, and for former vicar Christian Preuss, who will receive his call into the holy ministry this evening, let us pray to the Lord. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, you have enriched your church with the proclamation of the gospel through the evangelist Mark. Grant that we may firmly believe these glad tidings and daily walk according to your word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously night, for into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power. Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 482.